Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 198, part 2, the conclusion to A Spiritual Wind. Today is Sunday, June 12th, 2011. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. I have a couple quick announcements about Pastor Paul's club. It's located in Disciples Ministries Historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, you can call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday to register your household for monthly groceries. Now, Pastor Paul's Club is more than just free groceries once a month. Once you register as a club member, you're able to get free groceries once a month, but you can also pick up free bread every day. You can also purchase foods from Pastor Paul at ridiculously low prices. For instance, Pastor Paul has a lot of perishables, a lot of produce by the case and large quantities. We also have frozen foods by the case and large quantities. And you can purchase those from Pastor Paul's at ridiculously low prices. In fact, Pastor Paul asks that you just bring dollar bills. Anything larger than a 10, he will send you to Vegas. There you go. So dollar bills, you can purchase foods from Pastor Paul every day. And I'm at the grocery counter, so I will be registering you. And what I need you to bring is your picture ID, a current piece of mail to verify your address, and your verification of your household members the first time. You'll fill out a form, and you'll be able to get groceries that day. So be sure to check that information out. I have it posted at Pastor Paul's website, which is www.pastorpaul.org. And there's a link in the show notes for that information. Now, about Pastor Paul's podcast, I hope you're listening to part one and part two, the conclusion. Now, they're published on Friday and Sunday, but you know when you subscribe, you'll be able to get the message all the time as soon as it's published, and you can listen anytime you want. So be sure to subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast. Now, for the month of June, these are the following messages. God's will is your deliverance, a spiritual wind, God's today, Peter, do you love me? Four messages for the month of June, the beginning of summer. Also, I should mention, when you go to Pastor Paul's website at www.pastorpaul.org, up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find the links to Pastor Paul's podcast, to Pastor Paul's blog, Twitter, Flickr, YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. If you go to Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to see the show notes where the scriptures that are in Pastor Paul's messages are located. So scripture links at the blog. Also, if you follow me on Twitter, on Thursdays, I do a live Tweets Inside. When I'm recording Pastor Paul's message in the digital format and then producing this podcast, I am doing live tweets as I listen to Pastor Paul's message. So be sure to check that out. Live Tweets Inside on Thursdays, generally on Thursdays. So if you have any questions, any comments, or you want to make a suggestion or give a testimony, here's the comment line, 1-877-489-0922. And the local number is 612-208-0916. All this information is located at Pastor Paul's blog. Listen, have a great month of June, and we love you listening. And be sure to register your household if you need food at Pastor Paul's Club. God bless you. Have a great month of June. We'll see you back here every week. And be sure to send this podcast to a friend. If you love them, you will send them the podcast. God bless you.
Now you say, you know, we are much alike, aren't we? Sure we are. He got in the dumps. Elijah got in the dumps. He fretted. He complained. He sang the blues just like you and me. But they're living in a constant state of despair. And the kids hate to call them up. It's this hip of mine. Oh, but Grandma, that's the wrong hip. Well, you know. They both hurt. Know which one hurts the most? Mondays and Wednesdays, it's this one, and Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's over here. I can't keep track of the pain that's so much on my body. So you call up, how are you? I don't know. Everybody says I look so good, but I got an ache here and an ache there. Here ache, there ache, everywhere ache, ache. Old Mrs. McDonald had a pain. E-I-E-I-O. She ached here and she ached there and she ached everywhere. She told everybody all about it too. There's a lot of young people, just exactly, isn't it? Just exactly like that. How are you?
Well, I can't get a job. I've been all over.
Two places. In 2 years. Two places in 2 years. I mean, here's a job. Well, how much does it pay? $7.95 an hour to start? I mean, I can't make a living on that. Well, your dad can't make a living supporting you either. I mean, you know, start out somewhere. I mean, you should pay them for even taking you on until your body gets so it'll move a little bit. See, right now it's kind of dead-like, and it needs, you should pay tuition. Sometimes I get people down here to go to work, and man, they just move. You know what? Now they got a new thing. They crush the backs of their shoes down. Crush them. You know what I mean? They stand on them. If I did that, my mother would slap me up one side and down the other. Don't stand on your shoes like that, or untie them before you put them on. Do you ever do that when you're a kid? Not untie your shoes and then try to get them on and crunch down the backs of them. Well, they actually walk around like this. And they got the backs, and they have to walk like this, shoveling their feet along. God, if you yelled fire, they'd lose their shoes, trip over their shoes, and die. It is the laziest, most damnable spirit I ever seen in my whole life, just sort of shuffling along, pretending mental illness. You don't have to pretend. You really are mentally ill. I was up to Bread Run the other day. A guy says, you know what? This guy that you got here serving this stuff is so rude. Now, I didn't know this man. He was just good enough, and he was real energetic. He's busting boxes down, throwing them down, busting them down, busting them, throwing them down, you know. How'd I do? I said, well, you're doing great. You know the guy I'm talking about. I says, you're doing fantastic. He says, Boy, me and you are sure great guys, aren't we? I says, I'll go with that one. No, I'm just kidding, of course. Okay, don't put that down as a doctrine. Sometimes people do that, you know what I mean? But this guy is sort of simple. So you got to talk like that, see? Different strokes for different folks. But he's a beautiful person. And a guy comes up, and some guy tried to get in the front of the line. And he's, hey, you can't get in the front of the line. There's all kinds of old people trying to get in here. You go back there. You go back there. He says, what's wrong with this guy? Next time you get on TV or the radio, I'm going to tell him Pastor Paul has nuts down here working. You wait. And I said, well, what's nuts? You mean to tell me that you're sane? Yelling and shouting like this? Are you sane? I said, who's sane? I says, I got days when I belong in a straitjacket myself. How about you? How many of you have days when you know definitely you should be locked up and put in a straitjacket? God, we all do. Tell the truth, they'll set you free. Tell the truth about yourself, they won't keep you in the ward. They say, well, that person's sane. They admitted they're insane. So you have to admit it. And the truth it says will set you free. Half the people that are in the ward say, I'm crazy. They say, oh, okay, well, at least you know that. Now you're not crazy. Get out. You try to convince them, I'm not crazy. I tell you, I'm not. Lock him up. Give him an ice bath. Is that right? That's why I admit I'm crazy. People think I'm really sane. Aren't we all crazy at times? Don't we try to direct God? God, blow this way, blow that way. Isn't that crazy, trying to direct God? Isn't that insanity? Here you have all your peace and all your joy and all your happiness in Christ, and we want to go after monetary goods. But we have these self-appointed searchers of woe. Now, there's a person I asked a question. I said, how's it going? Now, listen to their reply. Okay. You know, hanging in there. What does that mean, hanging in there? You just hanging someplace? I know what that means. What does that mean, hanging in there? Hanging in there. Yeah. It's hanging in there. I mean, is that what you're going to do with your life? Is hang in there? Oh, just hanging in. And they love it when others have problems. They are sort of a self-appointed prophets of doom and despair. And they want others to ride the old gray dog with them, the Greyhound bus. And get on the bus and complain back and forth. How are you doing today? I know a guy that used to have Bible studies, and he'd open it up like this. Okay, let's hear about your day today. I can see it was awful. Now you give folks an inch and they'll take a mile. You know, you can tell a person that's kind of along those lines, you don't look good today. Oh, I know. Really? You can see it, huh? Praise God, you can see it. You can see I don't. God, you don't dare give them one little ounce of encouragement. It encourages them to be sicker. Well, what's wrong with you today? You're not yourself. Oh, you can see it too, huh? I know one guy, they used to talk him. He'd come in, they'd say, you don't look good. He'd be there for about a half hour, and he'd go home. He'd punch out. This is you give him excuses. I never give people excuses. I got an old guy comes in, he says, well, now he's not lazy, but he's, I just had an operation on my knee. Look at here, they cut my neck here, and they cut my neck here. I can hardly stand up. I said, well, then sit down, pack these beans. He said, well, I think I will. And so he sat down and he packed beans, and pretty soon he was standing up, and I got him in motion. See, you never let anybody say die. And everybody's saying die, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do they say die? By their actions. Straighten up. My mother used to tell me, straighten up. Shape up. I thought she was a master sergeant or something. Sit up. Chest out. Stomach in. It didn't do me no hurt. My dad used to wake me up by knocking on my head. Well, you see, he should have. It's made out of wood. Never mind. 5 o'clock. Wake up. Time to go to work. Come on. This before he went to school. Come on, wake up. He used to irritate me so bad I'd hear his footstep and I'd be sitting up in bed. Yeah. You're not going to knock on me today. Yeah, I was born into the school of hard knocks. But I asked this guy, Fred, I said, Fred, that isn't his real name. I hope there's nobody here named, is anybody here named Fred? I said, hi, Fred, how do you feel? And I'm right, I thought, oh, why did I say that? Oh, no. Oh, he surprised me. He said, I feel good today. Then he added, but then again, I always feel good. But I always feel the worst when I feel the best because I know how bad I'm going to feel when I get done, when I get, well, get feeling bad again. You know what I mean? I know it's going to come. I feel good. I'm feeling good today, but then I kind of feel bad because I know how bad I'm going to feel when I get done feeling well. And I said, what in the world does that mean? Pessimist. But that was not the case with Elijah. He didn't have the there's nothing new under the sun. Same old drag. Same old. Huh? You ever thought that about your house? Huh? Same old house. Hey, praise God for the same old house. Same old carpet. Same old Davenport and chair. Same old car. Huh? Those who steal one sunny outlook are as much a thief as a kleptomaniac. But anyway, what was the matter with Elijah? In the first place, he was tired. Now, you want to watch yourself when you get tired. He had just passed through a very exacting ordeal. 3.5 years. He had crows flying in, feeding him bread. Went up to Mount Carmel. Went against 400 prophets of Baal. All the prophets of Baal. 400. I mean, he had been through something. And then the victory and the exhilaration of the victory was heavy. That's heavy when people are giving you praise and you got the victory and, oh, man. Now you got to wonder, how am I going to hold on to it? What's the next act? How can I top this one? Did you ever feel that way? Now, how do I top this? Kids do that. They'll show off. Huh? You ever hear your kids show off and there's company there? And then you'll get down on his hands and knees and stand on his head. Smiling at you upside down. And you say, oh, he's just showing off. And until you notice them, they'll keep doing ridiculous things. Might as well stop right there and clap. Everybody just say, okay, clap, everybody. And you clap for them. See, this was the case with he was exhilarated. He had all this victory. And he was on a very spiritual high. You ever been up there? Oh, I'm feeling on top of it. Top of it. I'm on top of it. Huh? You ever felt that way? I'm on high as a kite. I'm high up there. Ooh, I feel so good. I'm flying. How are you doing there? Flying, man, flying. I'm not talking about people on drugs either. Did you ever feel that way, high? Oh, I'm sitting on top of the world. Think of what that means. See your little body sitting on top of the whole world. So what? You can be sitting on top of the world anytime you want to. Anywhere, anytime. Just singing a song. Just rolling along, huh? A glory hallelujah. And then he had ran along before the chariot of Ahab. From Carmel, I think, to Jezreel, it was 17 miles anyway. And then when he got there, a message was received from Jezebel, who threatened his life. And then, of course, he expected these men that had shouted, "The Lord is God!" They all yelled out after the fire licked up the stones and all the prophets were cast down and everything. "The Lord is God!" But they didn't do it. He was looking to their flesh. A beautiful spiritual thing had happened. He was exhilarated. He was exalted. He was lifted up. The Lord is God, huh? Now, you know, he was tired. He had been through this whole thing. Oh, God, he'd been through so much. He said, "Well, I think Jezebel will just hide after this great victory over the devil and the death of her prophets." But you know what? He was mistaken. She was worse. And she says something like this, "So let the gods do to me and more also." Can't you just see her with black hair, just like snakes down over her face, and green sea-like eyes, and a fierce-looking face, and high cheekbones, and, you know, the sort of like Egyptian makeup on here, you know what I mean? And long fingernails on, huh? A beautiful woman. A real queen. "So let the gods do to me and more also. If I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time." And her threat totally upset his sense of victory. Isn't that the way with us? We can go through a tremendous victory, but then maybe it's because we got some of the glory. See, his eyes got on the circumstance and his eyes got on the situation. No backers? Just ran 17-mile marathon for what? 3.5 years eating crow bread? When is it going to end? You ever said that, preacher? When is the thing ever going to end? Man, this has been a dry time for sure. And there's been victory after victory. Now this Jezebel, this person, these people that are supposed to be my backers are gone. What's happening? come on. I got four preachers now that I'm in contact with. I don't know their names. But I know I'm ministering to you today because I get their calls. What's going on? Well, you ever hear that time is marching on? Are you hearing this? But it totally upset him. For the first time, he gave way to fear. Have you ever given away to fear? Totally given away to it. That's what people do. When they go into Anoka, a lot of times they have given way to fear. It gets too heavy for them. And all their backers leave. And it seems like everybody's left them and nobody cares. And I'm going to go out and eat mud. So on like that. There's danger signs with those folks. You know what they need? They need a praise. People need, now I'm not saying lifting them up. I'm talking right now. Don't take this wrong on the radio. Praise men before God? I didn't say that. They need a word of encouragement. And so for the first time, cowardice drove him into the wilderness. Down, down, down. Can't you see him running? Down the road he ran to what? To the juniper tree. Can't you see him? This mighty man of God that had depended on the Spirit of the Lord and for the move of God and so on like that, and God working through his life, but he got tired. And so one source of his blues was in his tiredness. His nerves got shot. Did you ever have a nervous fit? How many of you had nervous fits? Never had a nervous fit? Well, I didn't say you were foaming at the mouth. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. No, I mean, that's how you get free, by admitting that stuff. But that shows weakness. In your weakness, God's strength is made perfect. That's it. Have you ever had a nervous fit? Like, gee, you're just frustrated. What? I don't know where to start with this thing. We'll start by sitting down. I didn't say lay down, get up, slugs. I don't encourage the sitters. I mean, you know what I mean. I mean, the standers and the movers are the ones that you have nervous fits. The sitter downers, layer downs, don't have a nerve in their body. They can just lay there until hell freezes over. They just lay right there and die right there. See, they, nothing bothers. Oh, they wake up kind of sleepy. Oh, what time is it? 2:30? Slept at 2:30. Record. Broke my record. Longest I ever slept was 2:17. 2:30. Wow, great. Did you ever do that? Have you ever done that? I mean, you know, someday you're just down and you're tired and you've had a nervous fit and the day before another, and you're just tired out. My God, I don't think I can go another step. And you're saying it while you're going another step. I don't think I'm going to make it. But somehow we make it to the icebox, don't we? I don't think I'm going to live the rest of this day out. You make a sandwich about this big, you know what I mean? It takes all day. You ever make yourself an all-day sandwich? At 2 o'clock in the morning? Maybe I'm the only one that's crazy in here. See, I don't know. Maybe I'm just telling you the way is not to be, huh? Because none of this ever happened to any of you guys. No. None of this ever happened to you, right, radio audience? Nothing like this. Oh, never. What a way to talk. What a faith talk this is. Maybe I'm just a little more honest. Yet the Bible says I'm a liar. Let God be true and all men be liars. Well, next to God's truth, we are liars. He has the total truth about everything. But his nerves were shot, and the great victory, and everybody shouting and carrying on probably to 4 o'clock in the morning. Hooray! Hooray for this man of God! Huh? And you know, when you get puffed up, you get tired, bloated with yourself. He was too high not to come down. Well, goodbye, goodbye, and farewell. Isn't there a song like that? Well, it's too hot not to cool down, but too high not to come down. And he thought, did all this really happen? Preacher, have you ever thought that? Is this a dream? Life is but a dream. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Life is but a dream or a nightmare. Is this really happening to me? Oh, God. Did this all really happen? But most of all, I believe he had lost all of his sense of divine fellowship. And when you do that, when you're born again, your batteries go down. All was still under the juniper tree. All he could do was hear himself breathing heavy from running down there. And the Holy Spirit was ever so quiet. Up to then, the Bible says the steps were ordered. The steps of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord. And the divine guidance was continuous. God was always guiding him every step of the way. Every step. Left turn, hold. To right, hold. Huh? And now, he ran down the juniper tree in his flesh, in his jogging suit. There's so many people running. Where are they going in these jogging suits? I don't know. Who cares? But anyway, ran down there and jumped under the juniper tree in his great big old fleshy garment, his Nike tennis shoes on, and this old, wool suit on, and sits down there in his flesh. Now he was under the juniper tree, and there was no wind. It was so still. You ever been there? Have you ever been under the juniper tree? You stuck out for what you wanted, what you craved for, what you desired, more flesh. And you know what? You end up not satisfied. People do that and then they keep right on. He probably went and sat under the juniper tree and he got under the juniper tree there and he's sitting here under this old juniper tree. No wind, no nothing, sitting all by himself. No friends, nothing. He's sitting under there and he's thinking, well, no, that didn't work. Maybe I should run down the road to the apple tree. Oh, don't go under the apple tree with anyone else but me. Anyone else but me, huh? Maybe he got out of there and he'd paddle down to the pear tree, see? He was looking for a fleshy way out. He had lost all divine connection. They talk about the French connection. I'm talking about a God connection. And so he started to wear down more. Well, how am I going to get out of this thing? And all was quiet. God was not talking. God wasn't saying anything. It was quiet under there. See, this woman's threat, Jezebel's threat, made him take things into his own hands. And that, friends, is always the road that leads to the juniper tree. And where there's no communion with God, and you're down there all by yourself, and you got your running jogs on, and your Nikes crossed, and you're sitting down there saying, woe is me, God, how'll I ever get out of it? And God has delivered you time after time after time after time, and you won't call on Him. But such a collapse is impossible if you keep on intimate terms with God. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We will not bow. Daniel in the lion's den, or Paul when the ship went to pieces. But Elijah had lost contact with the Holy Spirit. What's the result of that? No direction, no power, no fire. Do you hear in this preacher? Maybe everything is going wrong. Oh, God, when's it going to end? Don't go running down under the juniper tree. You won't find the answer there, sonny boy. And so he sobbed out his complaint. I am no better than my fathers. Now you're telling the truth. That smacks of a little bit of pride. Now he's getting humbled. I'm no better than my fathers. They allowed Israel to drift into idolatry. and I have not been able to bring it back. He thought he was going to do it all by himself. After God's great move. And I haven't accomplished nothing. You ever felt that way? Maybe you said, I toiled so long looking towards victory. I believe. I really did. I really believed. Oh, God, I really believed. And look where it's ended. Now I'm a failure. Or you're a quitter. You're never a failure till you quit. Have you ever felt a no account? Totally of no account. You ever felt that way? Felt like you were worth nothing. Have you ever felt like you never would amount to anything? Maybe your mother had told you that. You will never amount to anything. Mothers do say that to their kids sometimes. You are just like your dad. I'm no account. And so they ask him, what's your name? No account. I mean, George, Fred, Pete, Paul. Or maybe the parent doesn't pay any attention to him at all. None. Maybe the parent is so wrapped up in their own juniper tree experience, they don't have time for any children. Wow. In spite of all that God has done for you, this feeling is so devastating. It'll make you want to give up the fight and head for the juniper tree for a good cry. Oh, God, I got to get down to the juniper tree. It's waiting for me, calling, beckoning to my flesh. Oh, let me out of here. I know where I can find peace. Down along the river. Huh? Did you ever do that? Go on back home and get all melancholied out? Time I was that way, and I drove all the way back to where I was a boy. And I asked the people if I could go in the house. And I went in the house, and I went through all the rooms. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this had memories, memories. And I walked all through the place and up in the attic. Of those days gone by. They had gone by. Didn't do me any good to go there. I felt worse. Oh, if I could only go back to those days. Running through these big hallways at this great big house. You could put four Marines side by side, full pack, stack some others on top of their shoulders and march right down. Doorways about this wide. Great big front room where you open up these sliding great big doors. They call them like French doors or Italian. I don't know what kind of doors they are. Some kind of a foreign door. Anyway, doors. You open them up. You walk through. And all this kind of pining. And so you find yourself pining away. So I was feeling pretty good and I caught myself in the mirror and I thought, well, this isn't the same person. You're in a different time zone. You're in a different warp. You're in a different thing here. Why did you come all the way down here to try to find something? Do you ever try to go back? Can't go back. I thought, boy, if they weren't here, I'd slide down this banister. Well, of course, if I got on it then, I would have, you know, the whole thing would have fallen over with me. And everything looked so different. Did you ever try that? And I looked up, and there was a railing up in there, and we used to jump from the top of that railing down into that chair. Telephone would ring, and I'd throw myself over and plop right in that chair from the second story. Boop! Hello! I thought, boy, I'd like to try that. I would have been sitting in the basement if I'd done that. Forget about all those things that God has taken us through over and over and over and over, and we get into the flesh, and we try to recapture something, and we run to our juniper tree. Losing all sense of direction, all sense of affection. Affection comes from above. See, but what he needed right here was praise. He needed it now. He needed praise now. If he ever needed praise, he needed it now. If I ever needed praise, I need it now. Have you ever seen somebody that needs praise? But you know what? People thought, oh, he's so strong, he don't need any kind of praise. I need praise, but he don't need no praising. See, he was sort of like the onion. Now, dealing with all these fruits and vegetables of various types, I, of course, get ministry off it. He was sort of like these onions I got downstairs. Not praised too much. But the most used of all the vegetables in all of the cooking, always make sure there's onions in it. You never see it advertised too much. You don't see a great big onion come back there. Let's zoom in on this onion. Do you ever see them? No. You don't see it on TV. You don't put it out for decoration. Oh, let's put this in the vegetable bowl out here. Nice onion. No. Doesn't get wrecked. You don't put the onion out there on the table. Not because it is useless. The real reason is that it is strong. It can make it. It changes the taste of everything it comes in contact with. No, we praise some people because we think they need it, don't we? What do you mean you're just a carrot? Why, you bushy-haired little carrot? I got this working down there in my vegetables. You bushy-haired little carrot, why, you're the greatest little carrot that ever was. And the onion doesn't get any credit at all. Sitting over there just being an onion. But what do you mean, how do you like them tomatoes? I think tomatoes are great. But an onion is strong. It doesn't need encouragement. It doesn't need lifting up. It doesn't need praise. I was looking at this football thing here, getting ready for the football. And I thought, you know, that football player receives no more honor than a baby for its first step. Just a little more noise. So just because no one is praising you, that doesn't mean you're of no account. Well, I wish people were saying, hey, you're a neat fellow. That doesn't mean you're of no account. Everything you do affects someone else. How you stand, preacher, in your ministry without running down to the juniper tree, without taking off, will somehow, someday, be an encouragement to someone else, more than likely another preacher. No, that doesn't mean you're of no account, onion breath. Keep on. Without you, things are flat and dead. There's no motion. Isn't there a song, I'm just a lonely little petunia? You know, they should switch that around. I'm just a lonely little onion in a petunia patch. No one notices me. Isn't I was thinking about that, about the parts of the body, isn't that right? There are parts we don't even talk about. We can't even pronounce some of them. What's that thing, the esophagophagophagus? Oh, that's the esophagus. Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. You have to do that because people just think you're too ignorant then. See, I don't want to think I'm too dumb, you know what I mean? You hearing this today? But don't they keep right on working? Do you ever praise your kneecaps? Have you ever noticed them lately? Have you? Well, put your hands on them. Notice your kneecap. Hey, notice your kneecap. Well, you know, I never noticed that kneecap. It's still bending. It still bows down to God. It still gets down. Let him not bend one time. Let him not bow one time. Let him get stiff one time. They're not even noticed, but they're doing something, and maybe you're not noticed. But without chill, where would the body go with two stiff kneecaps? Yeah, you're important. You're part of a body of Christ. Are you hearing this? And he thought, there was not one good man in all Israel. Oh, God, there's nobody around. You can't trust nobody. Have you ever said that? God, who can you trust nowadays? How many have said that? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought, it's getting so you can't trust nobody? Of course, you're wrong. Now, if you want to reach, let me finish this message. If you want to reach total wretchedness, get to the place where you do not believe in anybody. And some cultivate this. And see a selfish motive behind everything someone does. Well, yeah, he did it, but why? Hast thou not considered my servant Job? You remember that one? Do you believe that all men have a price? And that all men are liars totally? Then you have the main characteristic of who? You have the main characteristic of the devil. Listen to this. Hast thou not considered my servant Job? Says the Lord. That there is none like him? Yes, replied the devil, I have considered him. I know him through and through. He is deceiving you. See, now he didn't, here's a guy that just totally, the devil doesn't believe in anybody. He is putting you on. You think he loves you for yourself. He loves you because you give to him. Ha! Stop feeding him almond joys and see what he does. Let me have him for a while. Let me touch him, and he will curse you to your face. Isn't that the devil's habit? To separate you, get you suspicious of everybody? God, nobody likes me. I'm a dud. Oh, no. No, no. Now you're tired and you're down. You've had this great victory, preacher, or you sitting here, and you've had these victories, and maybe you've been over and seen all the grandkids. Grandma, 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 we love you, we love you. Oh. Huh? You've had this great victory with the kids. What a great day I had today with my grandchildren. But then one of the other daughter-in-laws or son-in-laws or something, you know what? I heard from so-and-so and so, you're an old windbag. Did you say this and that and this and that and so on? Like, oh, what's happening? You can't trust these kids. Can't trust none of them. They're going to turn all the grandkids against me and all my kids against me and everything. Oh, I'm going to go. I'm going to take off. No one will know where I'm at. I'll just go off someplace. They'll say, whatever happened. They could care less. You know what I'm talking about? That you're talking flesh now. See? But they don't know that they need you. They do need you. But they don't need you reminding them how much they need you. They'll know. They'll say, well, they're looking at me and my cats. You know, one thing, you know, when you die, and I'm just talking between all of us, when we die, and it could happen at any time to anybody, boy, wasn't he a nice guy. Oh, he had peculiar ways and things, but what a nice guy he was. Never seen a more dedicated man in all my life. They always got good things to say about you when you passed away. Well, that's because they remember the good things. They don't remember the bad things. So it isn't all bad that they remember the good. They remember the good because you did so much good for them, they're going to miss you because you were doing things for them. Isn't that true? Oh, even a painter will tell you that. Well, my paintings were never good until I died. Now they're hanging all over the place. Worth millions of dollars. They used to call me a nut. I cut off my ear. They said, Van Gogh, go. You know what I mean? He's gone. Cut my ear off. Isn't that the way? And so you can work and work and work. And it seems like nothing's happening. When it looks like nothing's happening, everything is happening. Don't worry about it. And you preachers, don't you worry about it. And you people and you grandmas and all you people, don't worry about it. We're all going to have those nervous days. Nervous days. Twitching of the eyes I have. Huh? You think nobody likes you and you think, oh, they didn't even say hi to me this morning. And you go in the corner store and everybody's busy. Hi! They were putting the vegetables up. They're just nothing. They're just putting the vegetables up there. How are you doing today? All right. Oh, yeah. I wonder what's wrong with me. Maybe I should change my deodorant or something. Nobody's talking to me. Do you ever have those days? Huh? Have you? Where you just felt like a total nerd? You know what that is? And the devil will talk to you and start talking to you. Don't you listen to it. Pat yourself on the back. Come on, guy. Come on. Get up. Nehemiah encouraged himself. Nobody would encourage him whilst he was on the wall, building the wall. And so he encouraged himself. But how do you encourage yourself? You encourage yourself in the Lord.
There you have it, part two, the conclusion to A Spiritual Wind. If you missed part one, go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com and there you'll be able to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. Subscribe to the messages so you receive them as soon as they're published. And don't forget to check out the scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. They're in the show notes at Pastor Paul's blog. Next Friday, join us for God's Today. In the meantime, have a great week. God bless you.
You got to move. When the Lord